Lisa has been doing social media. She's one of the go-to experts here in Dallas. She does social media coaching for businesses globally. And I would have to say that she is the Twitter expert. 29,000 followers. And anyway, you don't get too much better than that unless you're Ashton Kutcher. So if y'all will give it up for Lisa and let her get started with her quick microphone.
Thank you very, oh, the hashtag tonight is DFWSM, by the way.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you for that reminder, Dawn. Incidentally, quickly, forgot to mention earlier, Dawn's presented on LinkedIn last month. He's teaching a LinkedIn workshop at the end of this month, April 30th and May 7th. So if you want to know more about that, quickly get with him on that. We're actually co-presenting that. So what I want to talk to y'all tonight is about Twitter. Now this isn't, okay, how do you send a tweet? That's not what I'm talking to you about. I'm talking to you about how to be a power Twitter user. What does that mean? That means you're going to use Twitter and you're actually going to be great at it. Okay? And you're going to do it easily because it's not that hard to be a power Twitter user. You just have to put a little bit of effort into it. So I'm going to give you some tips on how I do it for my clients because I do social media maintenance. So I'm going to give you some tips on how to make that happen for you. I'm going to give you some free tools. I'm going to give you some paid tools. Now, quickly, there is a tweet that should have just went out on the hashtag for DFWSM, which is a link to a PDF because I failed to bring it with me tonight for all of y'all. I like to leave a go-behind so y'all can certainly... if you're on Twitter, you can bring up that PDF and view it as I go through. There is a little more information on it than there is on the slides, so you'll want to make sure and look at that. If you don't have Twitter or whatever and you would like that link, feel free. I can certainly send you the URL to that also. So now we're going to go ahead and get started. Quickly, we want to do a little housekeeping. Forgot to mention earlier. Please silence your phones, vibrate, stun, whatever you feel comfortable with. You know, y'all are only allowed to take great pictures of me, so feel free to take as many pictures as you want, but I'm only allowed one chin, okay? In all my pictures. That's why I stopped for you in pose, Tony. So we're going to go ahead and get started here. So the first thing that you want to do when you are taking your Twitter to the next level is you want to make sure when you set up your account, you have a 160-character bio that you can use, okay? You want to make sure that you use all 160 characters. So what's the way you can do that? You can use Word, OpenOffice, whatever you like. Type in that whatever platform you like. Type in your bio, okay? Say everything you want to say. Don't worry about the 160 characters yet, okay? You can make it longer. That is completely fine. Type in what you want it to say because you're starting with where to go from there. Then you can start narrowing down the words that doesn't make sense for your bio. So for example, my bio here says social media marketing strategist, coach, trainer in Dallas. Now, you're going to notice I've got all my keywords in there, okay? Because when somebody goes out and searches, I want them to find me. I have my experience, 20 years of marketing, and I tell administrative and management experience, and I tell them I'm working to grow their business. So when you're writing your Twitter bio, you want to make sure you put all of your keywords in there. You don't want to assume that they're going to know who you are, what you're about, based on your Twitter ID alone. The other reason for that is because when people go out and search on Twitter, you want them to find you based on keywords. Make sure that if you have a service, you want to tie it to your community, such as Dallas or DFW. Even if you are serving a global client, I still, you know, use a keyword, such as where you're at, Dallas or DFW, because does it hurt to attract local people? Not at all. So make sure you're doing that. Make sure that you're putting your title, and it's something that people understand. So, for example, CEO doesn't mean anything on Twitter necessarily. You know, if you were the CEO of marketing or, you know, whatever, you know, put that in there. Make sure you have your keywords in there. Make sure you have marketing, et cetera, social media. Make sure you get your keywords in there. Another thing that you're going to do is you want to grow your followers. That's how you're going to get up to 29,000 followers on Twitter or more. Now, I want to tell you quickly here because I'm going to talk to you about some automated methods and some organic methods, okay? So one of the things you're gonna do is you're gonna go to Twello.com, and that's Twello, that's the yellow pages of Twitter, that's Twellow.com, okay? And you're going to register an account on there. Your Twitter bio is already there, but you need to go out and claim your account. So you're going to register your account. You have a long bio within Twello that you can complete. Make sure you complete that. And again, put all of your keywords in there. It is 2,000 characters. Make sure you use every one of those 2,000 characters. Now, of course, I'm not saying don't get extreme and put social media 50 times or whatever, but optimize the characters. Make sure you got a good bio in there. One of the other things that you can do in Twilio that I like is you can put in links to your other social sites, such as Facebook. You can put in like Google Plus and some other social media platforms. So optimize that too once you register your account. Twilio is free, so it's not going to cost you anything to go out and do that, just a little bit of time, okay? So once you register on Twilio, and for some reason I clicked my slide advancement, didn't advance for me, you're going to go out and follow people. Twitter is the yellow pages, so you can go out and search by industry, so you can look for who your ideal client is. Maybe it's a small business owner. It's okay, I'm not ready yet. I'll figure it out in a minute, sir. Thank you. So if you are looking for small business owners, there's a category. It says small business owners. So you can go out there and literally right there from Twilio, just click follow, 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 follow. And it will actually just follow those people for you right there on your Twitter account. Now that is an organic method to grow your Twitter followers, okay? So there is an automated method, which if I can get this to advance now. Advance for me. There it is. Okay. Oh, this is follow again. Okay. So right here, these were the follow buttons I was talking about. That you can actually just follow people. Y'all see them right there. It says follow. You can actually follow people right from Twilio. So here's the automated approach. This is TweetAdder. This is a tool I actually use for my clients to grow their Twitter following. It is very time consuming to sit there and go out to Twilio and manually follow all those people. Now I am going to tell you that when you use an automated tool like TweetAdder, your quality is going to go down. I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to get spammers that are, you're going to get people based on, because you use Twilio and you, I mean, TweetAdder, and you use it based on keywords. So you're going to get things like somebody that's just tweeted a word that was one of your target words possibly. Or maybe they're in Dallas, but they're really a professional stripper. Yeah. You might get those people out there, okay? But what the good that you get with the spam, it's worth it, okay? Now, I am going to tell you right now that I did not use TweetAdder to grow my following to over 29,000. All of my followers are actually organic. I want to make sure that you all know that right now. But this is a great tool, and I've taken many clients from zero to nothing to 12,000 followers using this tool. Now, in addition to using TweetAdder as one of the tools, you can target by keyword, you can target by area, etc. You have to make sure you're putting great content out there, because if you're just growing followers for no reason, then it's not going to do you any good. So when you're growing these followers, you need to make sure that you're putting out tips, that you're branding yourself as an authority to make it happen for you. Does that make sense? Everybody understand? Yes, Terry.
So do you have a recommendation for the number of people we should follow and unfollow and tweet at her without getting in trouble by Twitter?
Well, good question, Terry. Okay. Normally, I set it at 200 a day.
Follow.
I do 200 follows and 200 unfollows. However, this is where I run into a problem with this, is if I have a client that is not getting follows back, and we're just doing a lot of following, and they're not getting any follows back right away, then it runs into a problem. And so what I'll do is I'll drop the number down to, say, 50, and let the numbers get up, say, over 500 or 600, get them respectful, and then ramp the number back up to 200, if they get tagged. But I've only had that happen a few times. But if they get tagged, then I'll adjust the numbers accordingly down to 50 and, you know, let that run for, you know, let Twitter like them for a couple, you know, and then ramp the numbers back up. But I've only ran into that problem a couple times. And I do 200 and 200. Yes, ma'am.
What would you say is the ideal test period? About 1 week, 4 days? To see if these people are responding to you and following them?
Well, the software actually automatically unfollows them after 3 days if they don't follow back when you use TweetAdder. So literally, you know, it's follow, 3 days later, it unfollows. So, and it works really well. And I use this for my clients. Because, you know, we don't have 2 years to get 29,000 followers, you know. Now, with that said, though, you know, a lot of, you know, when you tweet, you're going to get a lot of organic followers, too. this is a tool to give you the boost. Because a lot of times when people determine if they're going to follow you, or if you're worthy of paying attention to your tweets, is if you actually have somebody following you. And so that's why you've got to get the boost with the numbers. Now, the license is $55 for a single user license. So if you just have one Twitter ID you're growing, then it's $55. If you want the unlimited license, I think it's $198. At least that's what it was when I bought it a while back. And like I said, you got to play with it, you know, and see what works for you. But it is a very good tool to get your numbers up. So let's talk about how you, when you're doing organic methods, okay, so you're going out to Twilio.com. Okay, we're going to switch back gears for a second. You're going to Twilio.com and you're going out and following people manually, okay? Well, after you get to 2,001 followers, Twitter won't let you follow anybody else unless you have 1,800 people following you, approximately 1,800 people, okay? And so you have to have a way to unfollow those people. And this is a tool that you would use to do that. It's tweepi.com, that's T-W-E-E-P-I.com. They have a free version or a pay version, which is low as $7.97 a month. And you can unfollow. The free version, I think, is about 40 people at a time, something like that. It works well. You have to dedicate a little time to it. One thing I recommend, if you are going to use Tweepi and you're going to manually unfollow people, get control of it. And then monitor it like every 2 weeks or something. That way it doesn't get out of hand for you and suck half your day down trying to unfollow people that have elected not to follow you back. The reason that Twitter has these ratios is to make sure that you're not spamming people. The idea is they don't want you to go out and, you know, follow 40,000 people and only have 15 followers, because then they're concerned you're a spammer at that point and you're waiting for them to follow you back. So that's why they have these ratios into play. Does anybody... everybody understand about the Tweepi.com to unfollow and everything? Great. Now, the things that I'm giving you right here, these are things that I do as a power user. This isn't just the generic here's how to tweet kind of thing, just so you understand that. So let's talk about pre-written tweets. You've heard me talk about this content. You've heard me talk about, hey, I gotta have the same content out there. So one thing I do when I'm working with a social media client is I tell them, I want them to write me 100 character tweets, okay? Now these are not going to be, go to my website and buy my product, go to my website and buy my product. These are 100 tweets that actually provide value to people, that is going to attract your ideal client. For example, as many of y'all follow me on Twitter have probably seen, I have 100 tweets that I have written, and they're social media tips. They're Facebook, they're Twitter, they're LinkedIn. I've written them in advance. I have 100 of them. Uh-huh. So I have content. When I cannot be on Twitter at that time, I have content still going out. You can also use those 100 tweets that you've written for LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, lots of places you can use this 100 content. You could put them in a PDF and use them for an ebook if you wanted, you know, because it's going to be good stuff. The kind of things that you're going to tweet about is going to be tips, great articles. You can tweet to blog posts that are on your website. You know, give them a lead in to what the blog post is about and give the link to that. I would want you to have a mix of this. I wouldn't want you to just have every link be a drive to your website. You know, you want to have a mix of content. You want to have some tips. You want to have some articles. You want to have links to your blog post. You know, mix it up a little bit so that it keeps interesting for people. One thing you have on here is make them evergreen. That means make them generic so that you can use them long periods of time, not just, okay, it's timely, I have an event, I'm pushing something through April 30th, and then it ends. Make sure you're using evergreen updates. You can schedule these tweets in advance so that your work is happening while you're doing something else. You can use a tool such as Hootsuite, okay? And the way you can do this is you can put them in an Excel file. And then you can up, and you actually, you picture like three columns. You have like your update here, and then you would put your date. And I'm not actually sure exactly which format I'm in, but so you'd have your tweet, you'd have your column with the date in it when you want it to post, and then your other column with the time. And then you can actually bulk upload those to Hootsuite, which is a free tool that you can use to manage your Twitter account. And you can have your content out there. It's really great. And of course, save your Excel spreadsheet. So later, all you have to do is change your dates and upload it again. So that's one thing that I like to do. You can manually schedule tweets individually. Yes, sir.
Question, is there a better time to upload? Is there
time you're gonna, you're going to put the time in
But the question is there a time during the day that's best to upload tweets or to have them published so you get higher visibility?
Oh, yes, there is. I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. TweetDeck is another tool that you can actually manually schedule them individually, and TweetDeck's really going away. It's pretty much gone now. So I recommend that if you're not using Hootsuite or MarketMe Suite or another platform, that you get used to using that, because TweetDeck is not being supported anymore. They're not, you know, at this point, it's going to be gone eventually from what I've heard. So if you're using it, just trying to start exploring your options. Hootsuite has a free version. I mentioned that earlier. They also have a paid version, which is $5.95 a month, I believe. Maybe it's $5.99, something like that. It's inconsequential. But they have a free version and then the paid. I use the paid version because, of course, I'm managing multiple Twitter accounts. You can have up to 5 social profiles in the free version. One of the things that I love about Hootsuite is you can also post in LinkedIn at the same time and onto a Google Plus business page. So you're getting more bang for your buck with that tool. There's an automated spinning tool, which I use for my clients. It's a Socialum. It's $17.97 bi-weekly for the professional version. Now, I want you to keep in mind when I'm recommending this, I'm talking to you as a, you know, somebody that's going to do it professionally for your business full-time or whatever. This is an awesome tool to use. You can actually put those same 100 tweets in Socialum and just tell them to repeat for one every 5 hours till the end of time, and then your work's done one time. So that's a great tool to use also. TweetAdder also has a tweet spinning function. I have not used it. Okay, they do have one. I think it's more like the bulk upload format. I haven't used it. One of the other things, which I didn't mention here, and I don't think I have it in the next slide, is sending an automated direct message to people that follow you. You know, I send one. Some people don't like it. Some people do. Everybody has their own feel. I send one, but my automated message actually says, hey, by the way, this is automated. I use it as a conversation piece. You would be surprised how many people message me back and say, oh, how do I get an automated message? Now I've got a line of conversation with people. So you can use an automated direct message, but I do want to say if you use one, don't send them a link to your site in that thanks for connecting automated DM. Don't do that. People aren't going to click them. It's just going to turn them off. Don't even bother with it, okay? They're not going to click it. Now, if you want to say to them, tell me something about you, because now you're getting a conversation going, and that's the way I recommend you use it if you're doing an automated DM, is use it as a way to drive conversation. Tell them something about you and ask them to tell you something about them. You know, for example, I had one of my clients that is publishing a new book, and so we had her automated DM say, I can't wait, my book's coming out, whatever date, it was last year sometime, I can't remember right now, but you know how many people messaged her back and said, that is so awesome, send me the link to your book. We didn't try to, they asked for the link, we didn't have to do anything, you know, and the people that didn't message back, they weren't going to pay attention to it anyway, so it didn't matter, you didn't lose anything. Okay, so keep that in mind when you're doing that. So let's talk about, these slides don't like to advance for me when I click that button. So let's talk about daily maintenance, okay? So you have your automated tweets going out. You've already written them. Now, the reason that I want them to be 100 characters, and I'm very specific on that, is because, yes, you can have 140 characters on Twitter, is you want to be retweetable, right? You want to make it easy for people to spread the word about you and your tip to their followers. If you make them long, if you make them work for them, guess what? They're not going to retweet you. My 100 tips that I've had out there spinning since January, I get 4 or 5, I can't even, retweets all the time on them. I can't even, you know, and some days 10 or 15 on them, you know. And so if people really thought it was a good tip or they retweeted and then somebody else saw it, it just keeps going viral. So that's why you want them to be 100 characters. Now, with that said, if yours is 101, no big deal, you know. But the point is short and sweet and retweetable. So daily maintenance, okay? Social media can be a real time suck, right? It can suck all your time up. So when you get on social media, you need to have a reason to be on there, okay? Define your purpose and do your task while you were on there, okay? If you logged into your Twitter account 3 times a day, 5 minutes at a time, okay? Just, everybody has one. I don't have my smartphone out, but you got a smartphone, right? A lot of people have one, okay? Log in there. Use that time when you're sitting in that drive-thru, okay? That's when I do mine the best. Sitting in a drive-thru, waiting for an appointment. Just spend the 5 minutes, hop on your social profiles, hop in Hootsuite. One reason I love Hootsuite is they have a great app for the iPhone. I actually like to tweet from it sometimes more than actually using a browser. I love it. So you can go in there, look at Hootsuite, see who's mentioned you, send them a quick thank you for mentioning. You know, see who, look at your home feed, see who's tweeting, do a couple retweets. Literally, in and out. And once you start doing it, then it's a no-brainer for you. It's second nature, but like, oh, I'm gonna hop on Twitter, I have a second. You know, you can literally, I say 5 minutes, but you can literally do it. If two's all you got, then give it two, you know? But look at your account and use your smartphone to do it 3 times a day. Thank people that retweet you. Respond to people that mention you, ask you a question, etc. Do that. So on here I have also that I want you to add some more tweets into the mix. You have your automated tweets, right? You have your 5 minutes a day that you're doing your daily maintenance. And then I want to see you add 6 more tweets a day that is something that's relevant. This isn't our evergreen content. This is stuff that's happening right now. This is an article that Mashable just posted, okay, and is relevant to your industry if you're in social media. If you're not in social media, it's going to be, you know, you're a chiropractor. Maybe it's health news. Maybe you're into holistic medicine. Whatever it is, there's lots of content out there. Some of the sites that you can use to find some of that content is alltop.com. That's alltop.com, okay? That's a great site that you can find content on. I like to use selfimprovement.com. If I have a client that's into self-growth, tons of categories in there on self-growth, selfimprovement.com. Might be self-growth. I think it's selfgrowth.com is the URL. One of the other... yes, sir.
What was the first one site you mentioned?
Alltop, alltop.com. One of the other sites that I love is the Huffington Post because they have all sorts of different aggregators that you can follow. For example, I have a client that's a divorce attorney, and so I have the Huffington Post coming into my RSS reader, and I read all sorts of divorce articles all day. You quickly just look at the headlines. That's all you have to do. Look at the headlines. If it's not good, move on. If it is good, read it a little bit more. See if it's worthy of you tweeting it. But you can quickly scan those using an RSS reader. Google Reader, incidentally, is going away July 1st. I haven't picked my new favorite reader yet. If y'all are looking for suggestions on Reader, I've studied several of them. Newsblur.com, Feedbin.com, Feedly. Feedly is another one I've looked at, and there's another one I've looked at too, but it was so inconsequential I moved on quickly. I don't remember the name of it. But there are some good readers out there. I really liked Newsblur, but there was one thing that it didn't have for me that I'm looking for. So check out some of those readers and, you know, move. If you are using Google Reader now, start, you know, planning on migrating across to something better. But RSS is a great way to get content for your Twitter account really quickly. So for those of y'all that I might be speaking Greek when I say RSS, so when you go to a website, usually on the upper right-hand corner, there's little orange icon. Looks like it has 3 little lines through it, or like a sound wave or something. That's where you can get the URL for somebody's RSS feed really quickly for those of you that might not know what that means. So let's talk about the tweets. Somebody asked me earlier about what's the optimum time. Well, you want to spread them out throughout the day. 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. is when I have found is the best time because it seems like all the time zones are starting to converge together. You know, they're waking up. It depends on who your client is. Now, Hootsuite actually has if you just put a tweet in there and schedule it, you can let them pick the time. You can certainly use that tool. I haven't used it personally. I kind of like to pick my own times myself when I'm tweeting. And I like to do a lot of my maintenance and my retweeting and my conversation. If I'm going to do it, I like to do it between that 10 to 12 time frame because it seems like everybody's online during that time. But certainly you want to spread the content out throughout the day for the people that maybe get on Twitter throughout the day. So, you know, schedule your posts starting maybe at 9. Maybe you want to do one at 9, you want to do one at 11, you want to do one at 1, you know. Now, when you're scheduling, though, you're going to notice I said even numbers. That's really not what I want you to do. I want you to put it on an odd number because everybody schedules on an even number. So put it for like 11:12 a.m., 11:13 a.m. Don't make it an even number because that's what people naturally would do, you know, like 15, 30, 45. That's your natural intuition. So make it a weird number. If you're scheduling in TweetAdder, you can do, in TweetDeck or MarketMeSuite, you can use a weird number. In Hootsuite, it's like 5-minute increments. So in that case, you would have to do like 11:05, 11:10, 11:20 or something like that. But schedule on the weird time frames. If your targeted follower is somebody that is going to be online more on the weekend than on the during the daytime, then you're going to want to think about that. Maybe you're looking for stay-at-home moms. Well, obviously, stay-at-home moms are not going to be on Twitter between 7 and 9, probably. They're taking their kids to school. They're running all their errands. Once they sit down, you know, 10 or so, they have a few minutes. They've got the kid in front of the TV or whatever now, and they have a few minutes. You know, nap time is also a good time if your client is stay-at-home moms, maybe be tweeting, because moms have time to be on Twitter when they're napping. So, one-ish, you know, think about those things. You know, after they get home from school, obviously, they're not going to be on Twitter until later on in the evening, maybe when they start tucking their babies into bed, you know, around 8:30 or so, if that's who your target is. You have to really play with it. You know, a lot of people, they'll go, oh, well, I have a science to this. This is when you need to tweet. I'm not one of those people. What I am going to tell you is that you have to look at who your client is, use some logic behind when you think they're going to be on Twitter, tweet during that time, and see what happens. If you find that you're not getting any results during that time, guess what? Change it to a different time. But I want you to stick with it for a little while. I don't want you to do one day and go, oh, this ain't working. You know, stay with it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Commit to it for this time, for a month. You know, I've committed to this. I see this time didn't work. Now I'm going to change it. Okay? So do commit with it, but it isn't ironclad. It's not written in stone. There's flexibility with Twitter. So does everybody understand the kind of the maintenance and the kind of tweets that we're going to put out there, the additional content? Anybody want to give me an example of their business and maybe some kind of content that I would suggest for them? Nobody?
Oh. Girls fast pitch softball.
Girls fast pitch softball. Oh, you just had to throw me a hard one, didn't you? Okay, so for example, what I would do if I was tweeting for a brand like that. Some of the kind of content what I would put out, because I'm going to think I want to attract a certain kind of audience, right? I want to attract moms who might enter their children in girls fast pitch softball. I'm assuming it's for teenagers?
Yeah.
Any all ages?
4 years old up.
Okay, 4 years old up. So I'm going to want to post stuff that is going to attract moms. Well, moms are going to be interested in things to make their life easier, things to help their kids succeed, right? So activities for moms, activities for things to entertain the kids, tweet that kind of content in a mix of talking about your fast pitch softball. You know, you wouldn't just all talk about softball. You might talk about other sports that are fun for kids. It would depend on who your competition is. I have to really study that. But I would tweet things to make it easier for the kids, you know, make it easy on the moms, you know. Activities for kids. During spring break, I would totally be tweeting stuff about how to make it, you know, things to entertain your kids during spring break. That would be free because that's what they're going to be. You want them to pay you for your sport, so you want to make sure the stuff you're tweeting is free stuff so they have money for you. Did you want to?
Yeah, sure. Repair garage doors.
I knew that's what Chris was going to say. So we're going to talk about repair garage doors. What kind of stuff are we going to talk about? You're going to tweet stuff to help people improve their home, okay? Such as, when's the best time to change your air conditioner filter? Remind them to do that. Hey, don't forget, it's time to get your air conditioner tuned up. Now, I know that didn't relate to garage doors, but you want to attract people that are interested in their home, okay? You can tweet quick ways to repair stuff around the house. I would totally put out things like that, you know, little tips on, for example, one thing that comes to mind, and this doesn't apply to home improvement, but you know how those little clips on your keyboard always break? Well, you can use a binder clip to replace that little thing, the foot on your keyboard. You know, little tips like that would work around the house to help improve things. Ways to make your child's safety without having to put a lock on the door. You know, such as using a hair tie to hold the knob shut. Little tips like that because you're wanting to attract a certain kind of audience. So That's kind of how you're going to do your content, okay? So let's go out and talk about something else. You've heard me mention retweet the other day. I mean, you've heard me mention that several times. So one way that you're going to grow your followers is you're going to get retweeted, right? Well, how do you get retweeted? Well, you retweet other people. It's a natural intuition for people want to retweet you back. So retweet those that have larger followings. Now, I have on here, I say over 2,500 and retweet them several times, okay? Because you want somebody that is on Twitter on a regular basis. If they don't have over 2,500 followers, they're doing one of two things. They're growing their account still, or they're really not on there that much. Now, I'm not saying don't retweet anybody that's under 25. Don't take me wrong. I'm just saying this is a method to grow your following. Now, with that said, though, now, if you go and retweet Mashable, he's not going to thank you, and he's not going to retweet you back, okay? So make this a realistic goal, you know? Retweet, for example, a local person that you know that has over 2,500 followers. Retweet someone, I'll mention, such as Natalie McNeil, who has SheTakesOnTheWorld.com.net. Well, when I started retweeting her, I don't even know how many followers she has now. She had a respectable number that was bigger than mine, and I wanted her to retweet me. And so I retweeted her, she retweeted me. Now, with that said, a couple of things have happened here. We started forming a relationship. She started looking to Lisa to retweet me, because obviously I retweet her, she retweets me. It's a go back and forth process. So retweet others. Make that part of your daily maintenance. Find your three or four or five influencers, retweet them on a regular basis, and don't just do it once and go, well, they didn't retweet me back, screw it. It didn't work that way, okay? Do it continuously. Retweet them three or four times throughout the week. You know, if they don't reciprocate, they don't thank you, it seems like you're getting ignored, okay, it's time to move on. Unless they really have some great content that you want to keep retweeting to your followers, okay? So make that a part of your daily maintenance. Reply to others when they pose questions to you. That's the biggest thing you're going to get when you start tweeting tips. They're going to ask you for more advice. I get it all the time on Twitter. My tweets are going out and they'll go, oh, well, what do you define as an influencer? How do you determine? You know, and they ask me more questions. So now I'm having a conversation with people because that's what Twitter is about, is getting that conversation going. So reply to those that ask you questions. Respond with feedback on articles that other people tweet. You know, for example, they tweet 10 tips, okay? Now keep in mind, you want this to be people that are your influencers that you want to start retweeting you, okay? So they have an article that they tweeted, it had 10 tips in it. Look at the article, pick one of the tips and go, hey, I related to number 5. Great article, thanks for sharing. Whatever it is, you want to get their attention, okay? When people retweet you, make sure you thank them in your Twitter stream. Don't send them a private direct message. Nothing irritates me more than when I get a DM from Joe Blow saying, thanks for the RT. I'm thinking, I'm not even worthy of thanking me in your stream, so your followers will see my Twitter ID? Don't be that person, okay? Now, with that said, you know, say you're doing your maintenance and you've had 15 people retweet you. I don't expect you to go, thanks for the RT 15 times. What you can do is take the person's Twitter ID, put 4 or 5 Twitter IDs in one tweet and say, thanks for the RT. You're thanking all of them at the same time. You're introducing them to each other, right? And you're sending their Twitter ID out to the people that follow you on Twitter. And a lot of times in return, they'll thank you back or say, no problem, great. But now your Twitter ID, your name is in their head. They're thinking about you. That's what you want with Twitter. You want to keep them in your mind, okay? So the next thing you need to do, okay, is you need to identify key influencers, okay? And this is how I grew my 29,000 followers. This is the process I used. My influencers were Patty Farmer, LinkedIn Queen, and Bill Herbert. Those were the three names I started with. Bill has passed away now. But these were the three Twitter IDs that I followed. Bill had over 25,000 followers on Twitter, and he had a very large online influence, and he was local. So I wanted Bill to notice who I was, okay? LinkedIn Queen, at that time, had about 45,000 followers. Well, obviously, she's the LinkedIn Queen. I have a social media business, right? So if I retweet LinkedIn Queen, and I get her to retweet me, well, guess what? She just put her seal approval on my tweet to her 45,000 followers. So identify those influencers in your industry. Now make sure, of course, you pick a realistic influencer. You know, like I'm not gonna get Mashable to retweet me. okay? But pick a number that's practical, but they have more followers than you. They are respectable. Some of those might be, for example, if you're in sales, you know, it might be Chuck Burr, he's a sales coach. Or, you know, pick somebody that has numbers, but a realistic goal, somebody that would reach out to you, that they're personable, okay? Find those 3 to 5 individuals. Make them your best friend. Tell them how great their articles are. Be authentic. Make sure it's somebody you connect with, okay? Be authentic about it. Retweet them. Tell them that their articles are good. Respond to them. Ask them questions. Make it part of something you do all the time, and you'll start to get a relationship with them. There was an article, and this is exactly, and the reason I mentioned this story is I want you to understand how identifying these influencers really is going to work. So Natalie McNeil, you heard me mention her name earlier. I read a blog post, and it said, it was on Forbes.com, and she wrote the blog, and it said, top 20 women to follow on Twitter. Now this was in 2009, I started my business September 1st of 2009, okay, keep that in mind. At that time I had 800 followers on Twitter, and I found the article and say a month later. And I was like, I want to be in this article. That's my goal. I want to be in this article. So I'm going to get to know Natalie. She writes her Forbes.com. I got to know this woman. I want to be in this article. So I started retweeting her. I started having conversation with Natalie. Now, I've never been in the article. I have to admit that. But I've blogged for Natalie on her website, and she has like 40,000 views a month or something on her site. I blog for her on her website. I can blog for her whenever I want on her site. I have my own login, actually. I should do it more. Slap myself for that. The other thing is I was one of her 20 Wonder Women in 2010. I've had Skype conversations with her. We chat all the time. I did all of this by identifying her on Twitter and starting to develop a relationship with her. I was one of her 20... I was 20 or 25 Wonder Women in 2010, and I was on that list with Arianna Huffington. And that all happened because of Twitter, all of that. And the reason I tell you that story is so that y'all can understand. It can happen. You just have to work at it and get those relationships formed. So the next one, and you'll like this, is repeat this cycle, okay? It takes about 3 months to get a Twitter campaign to really start seeing results, to if you're using these steps, okay? In about 3 months, you're gonna find that you're gonna start getting things such as clients, you're gonna start getting people asking you questions, you're gonna get referrals, you're already gonna have questions. If you're tweeting tips, you're gonna get questions, you're gonna already be getting retweets. But about 3 months is how long it takes to start seeing results with a social media campaign. Depends on your service and what your product is, but if you do it diligently, after 3 months, you're gonna start seeing results. When I do social media maintenance for a client, I actually require them to make a 3-month, 12-week commitment to me, sign a contract. And the reason I do is because after 1 month, and you're going to feel this way, you're going to go, oh, I'm not seeing what I wanted after a month. I'm not getting rich. I'm going to stop. Well, I'm telling you, social media, Twitter, you're not going to get it rich right away. It's the residual effects that keep happening over time. And next thing you know, if you keep at it, you're going to be where I'm at. Today, all of my clients pretty much come from a referral from Twitter. That's where I get them. I have clients in the UK that I've done social media coaching, done social media maintenance. They found me on Twitter. That's where they got me. And that'll start happening for y'all and for your clients and for your business, whatever you're in. But you've just got to keep that going, that process. And it will happen for you. It'll start out with somebody calling you, using your contact form, needing more information. And it'll just keep on the line. But keep up it. Keep at it. So I have here, and I still am going to have time so I can take lots of questions afterwards. So this is kind of my wrap up, okay? I want you to set a schedule because I don't want you to get caught up and I don't want it to suck your time away, okay? So that's why you're going to have your evergreen tweets. It's going out. You can upload them into Hootsuite, okay? That is why you're going to define your goals for each day. So for example, today you're going to find your 3 influencers and you're going to retweet them, okay? You're going to use your tools, such as Hootsuite, TweetDeck, SocialOmp, to make it easier, okay? There's free tools. I gave y'all free tools and paid tools, so you can use either one. You're going to set your email alerts for your social media accounts. This doesn't just apply to Twitter, so it is not blowing up your email inbox, okay? So an example of that would be every time somebody follows you on Twitter. You don't necessarily need an email about it, as long as you're vetting your followers and going and following them back in Twitter, okay? set those interruptions so that it's not blowing up your email and taking your time away. Remember, when you're using social media, you're using it to market your business. Avoid being negative and conflict online. So with that said, what that means is we're not going to talk about politics. Okay, we're going to avoid that unless you're a politician. You know, if you're a minister, talk about, or writing a religious book, talk about Bible all you want. Okay, but if you're not, I recommend you avoid it. Unless that's your stick. Okay, I would avoid it. And one thing I always like to say, and this doesn't apply as much to Twitter, but don't just tweet about what you eat unless you're a chef or a foodie or you're writing review blogs, because people really don't want to read that unless that's why they're following you. Now, with that said, it's fun to tweet about that stuff sometimes, but just keep it in moderation. You know, don't be like, today's Daily Mail is, you know, people are not really going to be into that. Okay?
Unless you're the Dallas foodie.
And I was like, where'd my slide go? So social media, it's about sharing information, developing relationships, and building your brand. You must share knowledge, give others recognition, acknowledge your followers, communicate with them, and nurture the conversation. That's how I got to where I'm at. That's why I have 29,000 followers, because I nurtured those relationships with Patty, Bill, LinkedIn Queen, and then I moved on to Natalie McNeil, moved down the list, okay? Initially, your success, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to come in the form of recognition from your followers and recommendations. It's not going to be clients. You're not going to get rich. Any social media person, and I know there's some of those in here, and I'm sorry if I offend you, but if you're promising your clients that they're going to get rich immediately from social media, you're leading them in the wrong direction, because it does not happen overnight. It takes time, okay? Now, with that said, you know, I had one client who I did his social media. He had a list of like 30,000 people. He had a built-in audience. So for him, his social media campaign was like, woo, right there, no big deal. He had a success from the start, because he had a big email list already. But if you're starting from scratch, you're branding a new product, it takes time to get people to trust him. After you do all that, eventually, that's when you're going to get clients. And that's it. Any